A few years ago, Michael Packard was diving for lobster off the coast of Provincetown, Massachusetts. Now, he had been a commercial diver for at least 40 years at that point. And as he was diving, he was about 10 feet from the sandy bottom of the ocean. There were fish and other sea life swimming about him, just the vast ocean food chain surrounding him. But then something happened. He felt a great shove from behind and describes everything as going black. He recalls thinking that he had been eaten by a great white shark. But he felt around, and he couldn't feel teeth. He wasn't in any noticeable pain, but he could feel water rushing past him and muscles of a great mouth pressing in on him. It was then that he realized it wasn't a shark. Instead, he had been swallowed up by a whale. Well, not swallowed, technically. He was just in the mouth, so he was just being held captive in this great engorged mouth of a humpback whale. The baleen coming down and acting as a gate trapping him while this giant tongue was pressing against his body. He thought to himself, there's no way I'm getting out. I'm done. I'm dead. He remained ensnared for another 30 to 40 seconds before the whale started shaking its head from side to side. Accustomed to filtering small shrimp and fish, that humpback whale no doubt disliked the taste and the feeling of this flailing human in its mouth. And it finally surfaced and spat him out, back into the ocean, along with an immense amount of frothy white water. The crew of his boat witnessed the entire event. They rushed to retrieve him and took him to the hospital. In the first portion of our gospel reading today, Jesus has arrived in the Gentile region of Tyre. He enters a house, not wanting anyone to know where he was. Perhaps Jesus had been overwhelmed by his work and just needed a moment to himself, a little me time. Caring for others, as we all know, is exhausting and demanding for any human, even one who is also fully God. I like to imagine him getting in the house, closing the door, leaning his back against it, letting out an exhausted sigh as he slowly slides down the door onto the floor. But seconds later, there's a knock at the door, and a woman throws herself down at his feet. She is a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin, well outside the lines of the tribalism of the day and the community of Israel. She begs him to help her daughter. Her daughter is sick with a demon and needs the healing that can come only from Jesus. Now, this is the point where we expect Jesus to do his thing, to help the woman with her daughter's plight. After all, throughout the Gospels, Jesus likes to talk at length about how much he loves children and how much he cares for children. Instead, though, Jesus admonishes her, "Let the children be fed first. For it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Make no mistake. Jesus is comparing and calling this woman and her daughter dogs. Female dogs. I'll let you supply the correct term since I am up at a pulpit. In the Greek, it's actually a diminutive term, too, so it's little dogs, calling someone a female dog and calling someone a little female dog carries the same amount of insult, perhaps even just a little bit more in our minds. And it's here that we are probably asking ourselves, who is this person? This is not the Jesus that we're used to. This isn't the Jesus we've seen before. To this Jesus, the only children that deserved to be fed were the Israelites. What about the poor and the oppressed and the persecuted? He's just standing there denying care and love and respect to Gentiles, women, and children. Many have called this behavior misogynistic. Many have called it racist. They're all right. At this very moment, Jesus is. So the Enneagram is, it's kind of like a personality test. You can answer some questions. It puts you into some different categories. But one thing that's unique about it is that the Enneagram will tell you that you have a couple different self states. You have one that you use when you are at your very best. It's all of your great, great qualities. And then there's one that we fall back to when we get stressed and we're at our worst. And Jesus is no different. For as much as Jesus is God, he is also human. He has seen and he has healed a lot of suffering. But he gets tired too. He gets burnt out. He loves, but his compassion just runs out on this woman. He lashes out in hurtful and uncharacteristic ways. It's not an excuse. It's not good. It's horrible. It's hurtful. It's not the way of love that characterized Jesus' ministry. And it's not sustainable. But it is a reality that is told in each of the synoptic gospels. It's also a story that the Jesus Seminar, which was trying to find the historical sayings and teachings of Jesus, they all agree that this was one of the core ones. So it's important that we look at it and take it seriously. The woman's unfazed, though. It's very impressive. She knows that her daughter needs this healing to survive, and she is not going to back down. She has more faith in Jesus than Jesus has in himself. So she says, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Children and dogs are fed. Then he said to her, "For saying that, literally for your word, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. We all need a reminder sometimes of our love and calling. Of someone saying that despite whatever we tell ourselves, however awful we may have been, that they believe in us. That even when we have lost all our reserves, we can do it. The woman does that for Jesus. She teaches him something important about himself. And because of this woman's word, Jesus repents. Jesus listened. Jesus corrects his course. Jesus changes his mind. Jesus learns. And his ministry going forward will be different. Now, after he left the hospital, Michael Packard returned back to the diving work that he loved so much. He gained notoriety from this incredible story, and he was asked onto Jimmy Kimmel Live to share his experience. "I want to apologize to the whale for getting in his way," Packard said, "and I won't ever do it again." Humpback whales don't attack humans, but they do go after what they need to survive. They engulf huge amounts of water and press it back through their baleen with their tongues, trapping the tasty fish and krill that they like to eat. Michael Packard was likely enmeshed with a group of fish that this whale was going after. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He wasn't paying close enough attention to the needs of the things around him. According to one expert, the whale was likely a young juvenile searching for food, saying, "I like to think of it as a teenager or a puppy." It probably doesn't know what it's doing too well. But it does know how to survive. Even little whales, like little dogs, will go after the little food that they need. His ordeal taught him that he was in the wrong, that he got in the way of how nature works, and he was sorry. We all of us, have need of repentance when we're wrong. To amend our ways. It is the only way to stay in a relationship with others. And now I want to leave you with a prayer written by Padre Gotuma for the Corrymeela community. It is Northern Ireland's longest established peace and reconciliation organization. So he writes, "Jesus of Nazareth, when you met the woman of Syrophoenicia, you called her a little dog, but that didn't stop her. Little dogs need little crumbs, she said, and you listened, repented, and praised her for her words. We praise her words too, and ask that we can speak like her and listen like you. Because this is the gift of resilience and repentance. This just might save us." Amen.